This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. The first semester of college under COVID-19 is over. Now, schools have the difficult task of planning for the future. College leaders are deciding whether the benefits of holding in-person classes outweigh the risks of coronavirus exposure. University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mone says he will announce plans for the fall semester in June. Beyond the question of reopening campus, UWM is facing a projected $50 to $100 million deficit by the end of the next school year. WUWM education reporter Emily Files spoke with Mone about the challenges ahead. She starts by asking about a polarizing proposal from UW System President Ray Cross. Cross's blueprint for the future would require the state's 11 comprehensive universities to identify programs that could be cut to save money. Emily asks Chancellor Mone about his reaction to this proposal.
You know, I think there's some truth to what President Cross is talking about, that the sustainability question is facing all of higher education right now. There's more universities than there are students to go to them. So we do need to have additional revenue sources. We do need to look at alternative audiences. With respect to the comprehensives, I can't speak to that. That's something that I know President Cross is working on and has designated some priorities. A couple of comments pertaining to UW-Milwaukee and how we're approaching that same scenario, because you could make an argument that the factors, all the things that made us who we are not going to be the same things that are going to be important for the future. What got us here won't get us there type of idea. And I think that the blueprint thinking is something that we've already been aligned with. We're looking right now, what are the strongest programs? Where are enrollment projections likely to be? We're involved in that same type of process already. And I think that is critically important for us to do. The one aspect of the blueprint that I've had discussion with President Cross about, I know that our provost has been engaged with folks at the system level, is around the way that online programs are going to be looked at in the future. I think that's the third pillar of the blueprint. And we want to make sure that given our investments and given what we have achieved, the national rankings and many of our programs for our online programs, the types of partnerships that we have with, whether it's the Northwestern Mutual Data Science Institute with Marquette or other programs, we want to have that autonomy to continue to have our brand and the programmatic quality. Are there opportunities for collaboration? Yes. But I think that, this is something the system does have to look at. Final comment on the blueprint is that I think that at some point the regents will be looking at approving or not approving that or certain aspects of it. And I think that will happen down the road. I don't think that's going to happen in June. That was originally the plan, that there would be discussion and then potentially approval. I think that has been pushed down. So there will be time to sort this out. I also think President Cross put a pretty ambitious timeline out there. And so that's going to be interesting to see how that will play out.
So since UWM is not one of the 11 comprehensive institutions, my understanding is that it's not necessarily, if this blueprint were to go forward, it wouldn't be asked to make the same decisions about programming and its mission, kind of narrowing its focus, that the other universities might be asked to do. But you mentioned that UWM has been thinking about its programs. So could downsizing the number of majors or departments at the school be in UWM's future?
Well, I think it has been already. We've been doing that over time, and I think that will continue. What are areas that continue to remain strong? What are areas that just don't continue to have some of the enrollments or some of the elements that we can't maintain?
How far down the road would those decisions be?
So hypothetically, for example, if we come back and we're at 90% of our current enrollments, and that's all online, that's one financial scenario that has huge implications, because we don't have the revenue for our residence halls, dining, parking, segregated fees. So we, at that point, if we get into the fall, The good news here is we've got some reserves, so we don't have to make, you know, hard decisions immediately about programmatic areas. But I think you may know, we were already planning, independent of the pandemic, we were looking at an $8 to $10 million operating deficit for this year, that we were making plans next year for tightening our belt in a number of ways. Now that has ballooned to between 18 and 20. Right now, that's the end of this year. So in the fall, depending on what happens, that's one path and scenario we'd lay out where we might have to start looking at some of those decisions timeline. If on the other hand, we have students back on campus, let's say 40% of our students or 50% are in the residence halls, and we have more face-to-face classes, and the spring is even better, a vaccine occurs, or society has just said, we're going to drive through this, we have to overcome that, then we can push back some of those decisions. So it's very much contingent on how the scenarios play out, what enrollments occur, what additional types of support we get from Congress, from the state legislature, or the governor through additional federal funding. So there's a lot of unknowns in terms of when those types of decisions would be made.
And we'll get back to some of those possibilities about what the fall and spring semester might look like. But let's talk about the financial impact that UWM is currently experiencing and expected to experience. In your presentation to the Board of Regents a couple weeks ago, you said the impact of the pandemic on UWM was catastrophic and that higher education is in peril. Tell me more about why you used that strong language to describe the situation.
Yeah, this isn't just pulling concepts and themes and phrases out of thin air. Every day, I'm reviewing articles today about the campuses across the country that have furloughed, laid off, considering closure. We saw in Wisconsin the first private college with an announcement that they'll be closing. My alma mater, Central Washington University, declared financial exigency. I'm seeing campuses across the country where the terms existential are thrown about routinely. This is something that had been happening before the pandemic, you have to understand. There's a lot of challenges where the financial model that supports higher education actually broke a long time ago. And today, you know, I have colleagues in New Jersey that are experiencing immediately a 25% state budget reduction. We had for this year alone a 5% budget cut. Next year, in the same biennial budget year, we may well face the same. We certainly hope not. We want further investment. But when you have public institutions that are receiving cuts almost immediately, and you have major questions about enrollment declines, I think there's no other way to describe this than catastrophic.
You mentioned the 5% state budget cut in the current fiscal year, which is the next month and a half. And the brunt of that is being borne by the UW system. That means an about $6.5 million reduction for UWM. Is that right?
That's right.
How are you pulling that off?
Well, you know, what that does, and your point is right on, we have a month and a half, you know, so the expenses have already occurred. I mean, you can't save that money in this kind of time frame. So the reality is it deepens the hole. And so that's factored into the projections that we have for this year. And with our reserves, it will just deepen how far we have to go into those. I think you have perhaps heard, you know, we are looking at, you know, immediately we went into a furlough mode. Two different types of furloughs, those that are both through the summer for a number of our employees that can't do work remotely, or they can do work remotely, but they're just not essential, or we need to save the funds. Then next month, we start with what's called the intermittent furloughs or the across the board furloughs. Those will affect all employees that are already furloughed. So we're looking at where we can save funds. We have not laid people off. At this point, we are trying to trim everything that's non-essential. We also have to look at alternative revenue possibilities. And so we're pursuing a number of online new types of programs. They're not only academic, but a lot of non-credit. We can't just continue to cut. We really do need to think about alternative ways to build recruitment, to fill that next class, and so forth.
So for the current fiscal year state cut, your UWM is basically pulling from reserves and going to have to factor that into the upcoming fiscal year's deficit.
Exactly.
Okay. And you also told the regions that UWM is facing a between $50 and $100 million deficit by the end of next fiscal year?
That's right. That's modeled on us having about a 10% enrollment decline and some limitations to the number of people that are on campus.
So let's talk about fall semester. Summer classes are entirely online. What options are you considering for the fall, and what do you think is the most likely scenario?
Oh, that's a good question. That's the campus question across the world right now. And no matter what we plan, I'll just say this as a, you know, two caveats before any answers. One is, you know, we're not in this alone. You know, I'll note right now, we have extremes out there where you have the Cal State system that has declared last week their fall will be exclusively or largely online. Meanwhile, you've got University of Arizona, Purdue, University of Florida, I heard Texas A&M, you know, others that are very large. They are saying, we are going to be open. We are going to be here face to face. We are right now studying our options. And so my second caveat, one is that we're not in this alone. Second one is we haven't made a decision yet. So we are looking at really different scenarios that include one path being we just have to go completely online. We continue doing what we're doing. The second one is we're going to have face-to-face as much as possible with some online supplement. And then the model in between has all sorts of variations where we might start face-to-face, have some online that then we revert more if there's a surge or a spike. As far as the most likely, that's a crystal ball I don't have. I don't know with certainty. My hunch is we'll have an awful lot online, and we're going to try to, as safely as possible, bring people back for some face-to-face types of activities. We and others this summer are piloting practicum, clinical experiences, doing some things where there'll be some limited activities face to face. That will be a test. We'll see what happens. The most likely scenario is just fraught with so many unknowns right now. It's hard to even say. I'd like to make a decision by mid-June about what we'll do, and we'll go public at that point with here's our path, here's what we're planning on doing. Along the way, we want to put in place a lot of safety protocol if we do go down that face-to-face path.
What kind of precautions would the university take if classes were back in person to some degree?
So there's a lot of things that we're looking at right now, and they would include, you know, whatever is, if you will, state of the art at that time. I've been on calls with folks from System and Exact Sciences as one model, looking at the testing protocol, what would be involved. And we're looking at how can we have something that's economical, that's easy, that works out so that we can do, if necessary, batching and pooled sampling. So that may be something that we do. I don't know if campuses, college campuses, by late August, early September, will be doing that. As much as just something that's involved with temperature checks, tracing, and so forth. So those are foundational pieces, the testing and tracing. So we're exploring that. Then we have to think about, if you have somebody who's positive, what kind of separation, isolation, you know, would you have quarantine areas? If you have international students that have arrived, you can't just send them home if they're positive. So what are the things that provide protection, isolation, if you have that? As you know, UWM is a highly porous community, meaning that about 80% of our students live off campus. So there's a lot of people who travel off and on campus. We can't begin to control those behaviors, those environments, neighborhoods, practices outside of campus. So we have to recognize that PPE is going to be very important. Protocol around masks and having requirements and agreements that people, in terms of social distancing, how we would have classrooms set up in certain ways, how we would have entrances and exits. But again, nothing is decided yet. We don't know, but those are some of the dimensions that would be involved. I think behaviorally, as we think about students 18 to 25 years old, you have some training and communication that's very important. And I think there's aspects from almost a public health program kind of, you know, the communication and the awareness. We can do all these great things on campus, but what if people go to Brady Street and enjoy bar activity and life that's not as socially distant, and then they come back to campus? Or, you know, how do you enforce, how do you monitor? So there's going to have to be a whole new mindset. And again, it's awareness, it's training, it's something that's a world we haven't encountered, but we're thinking through all those types of things. So I think those are the examples of practices we would have in place should we go down that path, which is our goal right now, to have a safe campus, the safest possible campus that we can.
If UWM does go entirely or mostly online, how would that affect tuition?
That's also being looked at right now. What we did this summer is we found a middle ground where students don't experience a lot of the things that normally seg fees would enable a student to have, you know, a lot of the different physical aspects, Clatchy Center or the types of child care support and other types of things. So we've modified that, but we're also providing more support and resources online than for students that they normally wouldn't have. So with the student association, we've found a middle ground. I imagine we'd look at that in the fall as well. You know, we're hearing from parents and students, and they're asking a lot of questions about this as well, because there may be an expectation that we bought, or historically we paid this much for this type of experience. You're providing something that we see as different. Some would say less. I don't know if that's necessarily true across the board, but if we can't fulfill that, we have to look at the price compression, the pressure that is on there. And then no matter what we do, there's also the rest of the world. If they reduce their prices and we don't, that, you know, again, that's one of those uncontrollable factors. So we'll have to see what happens in that front.
You mentioned that some of the financial planning, you're using a 90% enrollment compared to previous years. So how is enrollment looking? Is there any indication yet whether UWM might benefit from more Milwaukee area students wanting to stay closer to home?
The numbers that I see today, and I'll just pull a couple of things out. Just look at some enrollment reports. Overall, we're down, you put all this together, we're down about 7.6%. So that's the projections right now. And we have some surprises in there, some good news. Masters and doctoral students up, online up. Our branch campuses, the UWM at Waukesha, UWM at Washington County, those are doing really well. They're strong. But where we're seeing the drop off is, of course, freshmen down right now about 5%. Our transfer students down about 15%. But overall, 7.6 as of today. And to your question, I hope that does happen. The concept of, you know, gap years, where people don't want to go out of state and pay $40,000-$50,000 a year. Why not stay here, continue your credit bearing semesters, really build on that opportunity, and along the way, find out just how good the education quality is here at UW-Milwaukee.
Is there anything else that you want to add?
I obviously, through this interview, you've heard about my concerns, the things that keep me up at night and where we're going. But I would end by saying I'm very, very confident that we have the best people working on ways to bring people back in a way that continues the education that is as safe as we realistically can enact. And I'm pretty optimistic about the future of UW-Milwaukee.
Mark Mone is Chancellor of UW-Milwaukee, and he spoke with education reporter Emily Files. WUWM is a broadcast service of UWM.